Honorable members, can we have some order, please? Allow me to welcome all of you. And also welcome to the Minister of State Security and the Acting DG and the staff of the Ministry and other visitors, honorable members. Welcome to the resumption of the work of this ad hoc committee. I want to remind the members that on the 7th of November last year, the House passed a resolution in terms of which this ad hoc committee was re-established to continue its work on the General Intelligence Amendment Bill. And the mandate remained the same membership, and continued to work where it had ended. We were specifically instructed to incorporate all the work that we've done to date, and that we are to report back to Parliament on the 28th of March this year. That is the reason why we are meeting today, honourable members. I have apologies from the Honourable Markey, the Honourable Fissler, and the Honourable Stever. Those House issues having been settled, honourable members, then we go on to the business for the day. You will recall when we last met discussing business, we had reached a point where we had completed the public hearings and we were looking at a response, whether the minister had intended to respond to any of the issues that had been raised at the public hearings. There was a feeling from the honourable members that the minister should indeed visit the committee and give us some form of response to his understanding of some issues that were raised at the public hearing. So the minister has been invited, honourable members. The minister is here, and the minister seeks the audience of the committee to respond to some of the issues that was raised in the public hearings. So, without wasting time on you, members, I know there's a certain amount of rust and a certain amount of fatigue, some holiday fever still perhaps flowing around in the system. We will accommodate all those inefficiencies that the honorable members might be suffering from. So we trust that this will not be a stressful meeting. The meeting is in fact specially arranged for a stress-relieving process. We will ask the minister to be generous with us in his explanation so that members are able to take in what he says in a very relaxed manner. And honorable members are assured that there will be more meetings and there would be better opportunities where you have the media present and all such other interested parties, and then if there are points that need to be scored, if there are points that need to be made, we can so arrange it. But let today be a very stressful thing, honourable members. Let us hear what the minister has to say, and over to you, honourable minister.
Good morning. Honourable members, let me first thank this opportunity to appear before you again on this critical legislation of General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill. Let me congratulate for your reappointment to the very same committee, because it assists if it's the same people, because you have a better grasp of the issues we're trying to tackle. So I congratulate all of you. from what Edison has said and what the National Assembly has done, it shows that the bill has been with the committee for a considerable time, more than what we expected. We hope that the committee will find it enough to try and then handle the bill and come to some finality at some stage. to us, it is urgent because, as we said initially, the intention was not to come with extensive legislation, which will come later in the form of state security bill. And we'd like to still stress that this was intended as legislation just to deal mainly with ensuring that we have got a legal, firm legal standing in terms of the changes we made in 2009. The members will remember that in 2009 we had about 3.5 departments which we consolidated into one. We had the South African Secret Service, we had the National Intelligence Agency, which were fully fledged departments, and we had the National Intelligence Academy, which is SANAI, South African National Intelligence Agency, which was also becoming another fully, we had the fully fledged department by then. And there were other institutions under our control which were moving towards becoming other departments. So we have to consolidate, that's why we said that 3.5. We had CONTAC, which was a fully flat company, independent company, with a chief executive officer operating along these other departments. So that's why I said it, but saying that like 3.5 departments, because it was a concept of an entity, public entity. The audit committee, which is responsible for our audit, has been raising concern that we should finalize this consolidation in terms of Amendment Act, so that we can have a legal basis even to operate and consolidate our financial statements. If you are a department, you're supposed to present your own financial statement. And because in 2009 we engaged Minister of Public Service and the Minister of Finance, there was an arrangement that this process should be short, and they authorize us on an annual basis to consolidate the annual financial statements of the previous department. So the audit committee has raised this thing several times. The JSI at certain intervals also raised this thing of consolidation of the financial statements. So it is critical. Jefferson, I'm not going to deal with all the issues which were raised in the public hearing, but I'll deal with those I think will assist the committee to be able to move forward with speed so that we can finalize the bill. One of those issues may appear technical, but it's very important in relation to CONTAC, which is this fully fledged company which was established in terms of the law. And the other one is in relation to policy in relation to NICOC, which is our coordinating structure for all intelligence structures, national intelligence structures in the Republic. It's more of a policy issue, that one. Other issues are really are the matters which we think we'll be able to fully deal with them when we're coming with state security bill, whether it is in relation to issues of communication and our approach to communication intelligence. Chairperson, maybe let me start with the easy one. I think from all of the parties represented to the committee, they raised the issue that while we transferred the functions in relation to CONSEC to the State Security Agency, which we're establishing as one department, one critical element within transfer was the area which deals with exemptions in terms of licensing fees and related matters. And we thank the members of the committee for raising this matter. And we really think that if an amendment will support to bring back those exemptions that would be exemption in relation to contract functions as they are now, those specific functions under the SFA. So that's one thing we really like to thank the committee members profusely, because when you are trying to bring all sorts of legislation, you want to cut unnecessary things and only deal with the key function. I think the focus was more of trying to ensure that the functions are transferred, and this was really oversight from our side, you know, to transfer that aspect. The other one is in relation to NACOC, which is our coordinating structure. Maybe to reaffirm that coordination of intelligence is very critical in order to avoid intelligence failure. And we still subscribe to that principle. The amendments, as we explained last year, were not brought here with any ill intentions. They were brought, those policy things, to try and address some of the issues which have been there within the structures. The members remember that one of the key issues was this thing which used to come now and again, not all the time, depending who is in charge of the structure, of coordinating intelligence as an activity, which is interpreted by some as that NICOC itself is involved in collecting intelligence. And some of the clauses which we're talking about, departmental intelligence collection. Just to say to the members, all these, you must remember that the intelligence dispensation and the architecture itself was part of the negotiated settlement which brought into effect the current constitution. So we still subscribe to those, because these were difficult negotiations and they really had to usher in the current dispensation, constitutional dispensation, which we have. The members also raised the amendments which were pertaining even to the appointment of the coordinator of intelligence, who would be the head of NICOC. That these were policy changes, and that they were not just minor changes. We are going, because we did explain the rationale why we're putting this, but we understand, because we don't want these things to be a stumbling block when we are saying we will come with policy proposals in the form of white paper, the national security strategy, the white paper, and eventually through the state security bill, we should follow those processes. So our approach is that instead of engaging and trying to legitimize why we put those provisions, it may be better in the interest of ensuring that we stick to the objectives of this legislation, that we remove those proposals in relation to NACOC at this stage, those policy proposals in relation to NICOC at this stage and in its entirety. And we are committing, Chairperson, that we can work with your Parmendra Law advisors, state law advisors, to ensure that we remove all those policy proposals so that we can move to a finalization of this legislation. So we didn't bring the presentation because we just wanted to first to see whether we have got an agreement, then we can work on those things. In the next committee meeting, then we can work with the people who assist the committee to put those proposals in pen and paper in terms of actual amendment in the bill itself. Those are the two critical things and we believe that if we do address them, and I believe that we can be able to unlock the process and be able to move towards the finality of the bill. As I said, I was not going to respond to each and everything which was said in the committee. Some of the issues which were said in the committee are the issues which were raised by the members themselves, and which we did bring, we responded at that particular time in the committee, chairperson. Just to say, we are still committed to follow the other process which are now in terms of broader policy proposals, in terms of the national security strategy, in terms of the white paper, then later, once we've agreed that South Africans on those, then we'll have a state security bill. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We can take, well, I feel made it, Chairperson. Let me put that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Amanda. Honourable members, the United States on the House, the Minister say, he's identified today certain areas on which he wants to broaden out. I think the Minister is saying that there is an understanding that those were some of the key issues that was identified, and then he will come and present the broader presentation to the committee with more detail. So, in line with the relaxed understanding that I presented at the beginning of the meeting, that I don't intend to unnecessarily stress members in this first meeting, I think the Minister has been obliging to take matters further than what I intended. So, other members, we take some questions. Hopefully the questions will be directed to the Minister, some indication, and then at the next meeting, we will invite the Minister to come and give us a broader document, which I trust he will circulate beforehand so that everybody can familiarize themselves with the subject matter that will be taking place, and then the meeting will be held in an atmosphere that we are more accustomed to. Honourable members, can we then... my secretary advises me here with a lot of exclamation marks that isn't. But there are a number of members that aren't here. I did give you some of the apologies, but we will circulate a memorandum to make sure that, Minister, at the next meeting we have all our members here so that we don't miss out, which is always a problem when members don't come, specifically with this type of legislation. You need to be on top of the subject matter. So, honourable members, keeping in mind what the Minister has said, can we get some questions of clarification? If there aren't, yes.
Appreciating the outlining can be the Minister. Just one quick question. I don't think would agree with what the Minister is saying. Mine is to then say and ask, how soon are we going to get that amended? Because I think it will assist us to look into what has been put into it and how it has been framed, so that we can then begin to engage on it accordingly.
Honourable Minister, how soon can we expect to get... if I can, just before answer, I think what the Minister is looking for is some form of feedback on what he said. So, unless you want to ask the minister, perhaps you want to first hear the rest of the questions.
Yes. I don't think the minister has just highlighted the issue of the policy. That's what we extracted from. So I'm just saying, my question can be then, how soon if that has been extracted? I agree fully with what the minister is saying, that that must be taken out accordingly, the issue that the minister has raised. But I'm then saying, how soon can you then come up with an amendable fourth committee to begin to look into?
Minister.
Yes, let me explain why we are ready with those, so we can table them in the next meeting. The reason why we didn't bring them and wanted first to have an understanding, because we don't want to be seen to be dictating to Parliament. We don't dictate to Parliament, but just suggestion. And agreeing with them where, because basically we are saying, that's why I even said we can work with your law advisors, the state law advisors. From our side, we're ready to put those, whether it's coming next week or tomorrow, we can do that. So we can, but I suggested to them last week because we followed the parliamentary process.
Satisfied on your thing?
As I said last week, next week. from last week, so, but we're following the procedure. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I understand the Minister's presentation, the key part of the presentation is that he has undertaken to withdraw the amendments in respect of NECOC. And to propose a new approach and to make provision for that with new proposed amendments. That is the, that as I understand it, is the key of his presentation, key point in his presentation, that the amendments, or certain amendments in respect of NECOC, will be withdrawn or removed. If that is so, I wonder if the Minister could explain why. What changes specifically he proposes to make, why he's going to make those changes, because I find it intriguing that the question that this has been raised at all, because the whole question, the amendments in respect to NECOC are not raised in the public submissions and have only been touched upon by this committee. My suspicion is that the whole question of NECOC is an issue that has been raised by the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. Now, what worries me in this process is that there's a parallel process. I just want some clarity. If it's true that the ministers intend to withdraw the amendment in respect of NECOC, why is he, what exactly does he intend to achieve, and why is he taking this course of action, given the fact that NECOC was not a point of contention in the public submissions or a substantial point of contention in this committee?
Honourable Mayne.
I would love to serve in the Joint Standing Committee, but I would like to hear things that are making some of us who are sitting in this committee to feel guilty that we are not serving in the Joint Standing Committee. Can they explain to us what is it that Honourable Mayor is talking about so that we can travel together, because we can't be in two camps. Thank you.
Honourable Member, I thought you were going to say that we are not dealing with suspicions in this committee. Mm-hmm. You sort of answered the question that Honourable Mayor is raising. Let me just speak on this matter, and then I'll take your question, Honourable Member. Honourable Member Mania, the Minister is not making proposals, he's not making amendments. He cannot, I will not allow him to come to this committee and say, these are the things that you must amend. But the Minister is saying that he is proposing that these make matters that a committee can take up. So it's not him. I think we must be clear on that, Honourable Member.
And I think that's perhaps just a, you just missed the right word there. See, he's been making recommendations. I'm not sure that this Joint Stand Committee on Intelligence matter, you say you have a suspicion. And so I think we leave it at the suspicion state, at that point it's a suspicion that you have. But I think the issue of the NICOC coordination did come up. And I think, you know, when you raise issues of coordination, I think the minister's got a right to say what he said, that he's had a look at it, and we hear what he has to say. So let's not anticipate what the minister wants to tell us about NICOC. He'll come and tell us, and then I think at the stage when he tells us how he sees things, there are proposals on NICOC that are in the bill, and let him come and say. You will recall there were issues about the minister's function and things, like why that went to NICOC. So let's not say that it was not raised in the public hearings, it was discussed. But I think let's not be too hasty. Mm. And let the minister come and say those things, and then we will take it from there.
Can anybody just clarify?
Chair, perhaps I wasn't clear. I mean, in a word, it seems that the minister is doing an about turn. I don't understand his motivation, because the issue on NICOC was not, I concede, was discussed in this committee. It was not raised as a major point of concern, and it certainly is not a major point of concern in the public submission. In fact, I thought that many of the proposals in respect of NICOC made perfect sense.
Honourable
with all due respect to my colleague, Chairperson, we from day one, the issue of technicality and policy centered around our engagement in this particular matter. Whether it was by way of public submissions or by the way in which the committee looked into the matter. Chairperson, as ANC, we also looked very closely to the issue of policy and the technicality, which we further raised with the minister accordingly. Derived from the discussions that we had, in fact, this has become a sensitive matter that we must do very closely on it. We can't just wish it away because it is an issue. So listening to the minister when he was presenting before us this morning, it also touches on the issues that we raised, and we also had concerns about. So they say, is it truly? Because the minister came, I think, twice, and we raised this matter of the policy and the technicality. And we kept on engaging the minister. And he was in games. I'm not trying to defend the minister. He was in games when this matter was raised about the technicality. And he tried to explain it. But when he's now coming back to them and say, this is it, then Chairperson, I'll be at a loss truly to then say, we have never discussed the issue of policy and technicality on this particular matter. I would then suggest, Chairperson, that we, on for record purposes, to stress on the point that the issue of policy was discussed and we engaged on it, and we still want to hear further ministers' responses to the question that I raised to them, say, how soon do they think that they'll be presenting the amendments? Because it then talks directly to the issue that you raised. To then say, if we see now the bill, we're going to be very closely on it.
The Honourable Messiah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Though some of the points that I wanted to raise have been raised by my colleagues, but I also want to ask Honourable Menier whether the Minister doesn't have a right to think. Is there always people thinking for him, or does he also have the right to think and decide over matters as the person responsible for the department? I find it very strange that Honourable Minister should go to the extent where he even think that another structure is thinking over the deliberations of this structure. There are members of the intelligence who are sitting in the ad hoc committee. But I don't think we should go to the extent where we even think that there are parallel divisions over these amendments. These amendments have been dedicated to the Atau committee. And when the time is right, it will be correct for us to either decide what we take in and what we take out, rather than having suspicions over the minister of being advised by another structure without him being advised by the department. I think the department is capable of always deliberating with the minister and finding a correct approach over matters that the minister presents to the ad hoc committee.
Honourable Minister.
I think members have raised this matter. One of the reasons that I did want to take presentation, I presented this to the committee because we did want to be directive to the committee. It was our understanding in relation to interaction with this committee that they were concerned. If this committee is saying now is no more a major concern to them, then I'll understand that. But we saw it was raised by the members of this committee. I unfortunately didn't interact with the public, I interacted with this committee. On the issue of the JSCI, I don't remember this bill being referred to the JSCI. I may be wrong. It was referred to this other committee. If the bill was at the same time referred to the JSCI, we were going to interact with the JSCI and explain the bill to the JSCI. So I just wanted to put that thing, that this thing of suspicion, my friend, we are just starting a year, and we agreed, two of us, that we end this year nicely. So I would like to go with suspicion. As far as we are concerned from the department, there is now about 10. I did explain what motivated us to do so. We did explain it then. But because the bill has been with the committee for a long time, we thought we should remove those things which may be seen as if they are major policy shifts. And they did just arise out of blue, they arose out of the discussions between us and the honorable members of this committee. So I would say it's going to be important that the approach, I said, while we wanted certain changes in that, and I'm motivated, I said we can survive without them. They are not a matter of life and death now. So I didn't say that I'm going to bring certain amendments. I was just trying to explain to the members of the committee some of the challenges which have been caused by the wording in the current legislation. So, in my view, that's why I said we need to work with your legal advisors, with the state law advisors, so that all of us agree that there's no policy change in that environment, as the committee, because that's how we read the committee. I'm not saying, I'm just paraphrasing the issues, I'm not saying Mr. Maynard stood on top of the desk and banged the roof, saying he doesn't want this particular for the succession. I'm not saying the Honorable Chef Ledgers was kicking the table, saying he doesn't want this thing. But that was our reading. That's why we even came back to you to say, these are the things we think we can unlock this, because there are processes to handle them. And they are not as crucial as creating clear certainty on the department, because the main purpose, the main, I don't say the sole purpose, the main purpose was to create one department, was to rationalize the intelligence services, was to avoid duplications which were coming out of that dispensation, which was eroding on the core business, but creating a bureaucracy. Those are the key, if we stick to the key objectives of the bill, that we're finding a growing and ballooning corporate services and less field officers are collecting intelligence on the ground. So the resources were diverted because of these duplications. We're finding it difficult to maintain clear career road in and across these departments. People were finding it was like creating Berlin walls between these departments. People couldn't move easily in and out of these departments. And we're creating a new bureaucracy called Intelligence Academy Department. And a department is not a shipping. It comes with certain things, comes with accounting officers. So we're duplicating all these corporate services. We did explain also that one of the key things, as early 2000, not a new thing, there was a need to find rationalization of corporate services. Several meetings were held between ministers of finance and ministers of intelligence services. They even came up with the idea of what was called shared services board, and it never worked. People were sharing things which are insignificant, just cleaning the garden. That's what was said. Not where the budget is. They were sharing crashes. That's what they define them as a shared service. But not the sharing the support and corporate services to this intelligence dispensation. So we did explain all those things about the need for the new legislation. The detail I was giving about NICOC was trying to explain that there was no malicious intent or trying to put policy changes under the umbrella of technical changes. That's what I was trying to explain. But because members have raised issues with this matter, we say it can stand so that we finalize these other critical aspects and come with the normal policy changes will be introducing. I hope, Chairperson, it is clearer now what we are trying to do. I'm not going to elaborate further. So there are no specific issues. Some of the issues you raise, in relation to NICOC, let me just, I'll raise some of them. It's where, like, there was a debate about where should the intelligence product be tabled. Minister, cabinet, that's some of the debate came. Who should appoint the NICOC principal? The president or the minister? I'm just using it as an example. What are the NICOC reporting lines? Are they still not entity or the entity within the ministry? I'm just reminding the members so they remember this issue. and so on. Departmental intelligence gathering. Others were even going to expect to say, should NICOC draw up regulation to say which product can be given to the public. You see, I'm just giving to say these were the things we're kicking up in those debates within the committee, basically. The answer to your specific question, are there specific provisions? I'm saying anything in relation to those policy issues But there are provisions which say, for instance, Nikok will have to respond, get the report from here, from this and this, or get the principal from this and that department, because those departments are not there. Then those will stand. But those which talk to the core policies in relation to the funding of Nikok itself and the structures of Nikok, obviously there will still be need for Nikok principals. But there will be no DG NIA or head of NIA. Now we have got head, domestic branch, those will remain. There is no more DG SAS, the South African Secret Service. Is a branch of the SSA, is the head foreign branch. So those are just technical amendments which are necessitated because there's no more department called NIA. There's no more department called South African Secret Service. So I hope that is clear. Those will remain, but we are moving all those which remain, like the new policy, the location of Nikok, that was a new policy, the appointments in Nikok in terms of the coordinator and so on, the abolishment of collecting departmental intelligence, and so on. So those are the changes which we are really, if I may be helpful to you, who are looking at and say we can survive with those things. We can retain those. I hope I'm clear, I should have said, but if clearer in the document, we'll work together. Because that was our understanding of what was regarded as a policy shift. Thank you, Shepherd.
Honourable members, just to assist you in your thinking and to allow you to get back and get the thing in historical order. I'm sure that some of you may have forgotten. It's not an unusual process at our ages that we do forget things. I reminded you that on the 7th of November there was a resolution in the House to reconstitute this committee. That would mean by implication that a committee did not exist before then, but it did exist at some time before then. You will recall that on the 21st of November last year, after the 7th of November when the committee was reconstituted, we met and we agreed on a program, and the program had agreed that we would meet today. So it seemed quite easy to follow. Prior to that, the last meeting that the committee had after the time period lapsed and at which time the committee ceased to exist was the 20th of April 2012. In this very building in room 515, the committee had its last meeting. It was during the time of the budget hearings, and it was one of the reasons why we ran into trouble. And the committee then, it's time we didn't need to report to Parliament, in fact, came to an end and the committee ceased to exist. So on the 20th of April, the honourable members will recall, and if you don't recall, let me remind you. There was a vigorous debate as to why the minister was not coming to address the committee on the public hearings and the issues raised. The minister had in fact said people from his ministry to say that the minister did not intend to respond to the public hearings. I'm sure the honourable members will now recall. But the debate went on and on and on in the meeting, and members were quite disturbed that the minister was not going to respond. I remember Honourable Bengu saying that the minister should come and he should have the minister say something about what happened in the public hearings. The issues, in fact, that we expected the minister to respond on was in fact raised in that meeting. People would say, this issue of Nikok, the minister has come clarify his issues. The question about the NCC, the minister must come and clarify these things. These are policy matters. We'd like to hear the minister on these things. So, honourable members, keeping all those things in mind, and because I'm sharing and I'm expected to remember these things, I brought the honourable minister here as you requested. The committee is now alive. Parliament has insisted that we continue our work. Here is the minister just as you requested me. You were very angry with me at that meeting on the 20th of April.
because the minister was not here and you did not want to accept from the minister's staff that he did not intend to respond. Now here he is, and he's come here with hat in hand and said, look, I've got some things to say about what has been raised, but if you want to hear me in greater detail, I'm quite happy. So let's give the minister an opportunity. Let's not criticize him. I don't think it matters who said what about Nikok and who said what about other issues. The thing is, the minister is here. He's making some interesting concessions from what he had originally tabled. It's our job to choose whether we want to accept it or not. Whether the Joint Study Committee on Intelligence was running some parallel process or whether there were some other people having some studies outside of Parliament looking at this thing, I think ultimately it's the work of this committee, and we alone will decide the way in which this will be processed. Let's not be influenced by outside processes. We have got it within ourselves to do what we must do. So I will minister the members. Now that I have reminded you, I assure you I'm not going to disagree with you that in fact was what happened. And can we then continue on that basis that the minister is here because you wanted him here? Are there any further questions, honourable members? Yes, honourable Mania.
Chair, just I think we can move on from Nikok. I mean, the minister has indicated that he is prepared to concede and has essentially indicated that there will be a tactical retreat in respect of Nikok. I just don't understand, to use Bladen's and Monday's favourite term, the motive forces behind that, but let's leave that aside. On the question of the minister responding to the public hearings and the submissions made by the public, the minister has not thus far comprehensively responded to the substantive issues raised by members of the public, which traverse a range of very important issues from the broad mandate of the Defence Security Agency right through to the very thorny question of the NCC foreign signals intelligence and the proper regulation of that of foreign signals intelligence. My question is, I mean, does the minister intend to brief us at some point in the future where he will look at each of the substantive issues raised by members of the public and deal with them substantively? I don't think, frankly, that it is good enough to pick two issues, NICOC and the ComSec issue, which really were incidental and minor issues if you look at the submissions from members of the public.
Is that question to the Honourable Minister or to the Chairperson? Because the Chairperson is capable of answering that question, but Honourable Minister.
The motive forces. The motive forces, all the members of Parliament and South Africans broadly, because we legislate on behalf of South Africans. You become a critical motive force because if you have a buy-in, we can do the right thing. And we can ensure that South Africans are safe and feel safe. Because that was the director, nothing else. The issues of broad mandate of the SSA and the one I addressed most on the foreign signals regulation. We thought we responded this thing to the committee even before the public hearing, because we said, if I remember well, we even asked about Matthews Commission's report, and I spent considerable time explaining our approach and the status of the message of God, that it was not status in South African government, but the issues which were in the message of God, our approach was that those things should be addressed in the policy changes we should be bringing back in the form of white paper, in the form of the state security bill. So it looks like they are totally ignored, even those which were misconstrued and those which were correctly identified. Because there has been a program, not only arising out of Metis Commission, other intelligence reviews, which several, we mentioned some of them, which raise certain issues which we need to attend to. And that's what motivated us, that at that particular time we are coming now close to 20 years of the white paper. The white paper will need a review as a basic policy because of the experiences, out of the experiences. You remember, members, that even some members raised issues, some officials and dealt with other legislation, reminded of income intelligence and so on, and how we define it. I am not going to respond to those issues because we have responded before. It's correct to say, when they asked me whether I want to respond to the public hearings, I said no, I've got no comments, I leave it to the committee. That's what I'm saying, absolutely correct. But I did get that members wanted to hear from the horse's mouth. Because why we didn't want to respond, because we thought we addressed the issues. We didn't want to come and just repeat the very same issues we should have addressed. But because of the importance of them, let me just say here, as the South African government, as the current government, we respect our constitution and the basic human rights which are enshrined in that constitution. And we'll stand by that all the time. That's what will guide us. As I said at the beginning of this discussion, I said, much as we negotiated and debated issues pertaining to our new constitution and constitutional dispensation, the issues of intelligence mandate and its architecture, they were heavily negotiated. And we think whatever was agreed at that particular time did assist us to usher in democracy. Because if we couldn't agree on those issues, there was no way the intelligence could have played that significant role to ensuring that we usher in our democracy. However, we've had experiences now. We need to review out of those experiences. As I say, I just want to put these things in the principle to them so that they understand where we stand. We respect each and every human right which is in that constitution. The very same constitution all of us praise and enjoy, and it's brought so much happiness to all of us. Really, I didn't have a right to vote. I didn't need to hear if this constitution was here, I was not going to be in this parliament. I need peace, I need security, and so on. But the very same constitution, which gives me all these rights, including those social rights, not just the basic rights, it gives us, particularly us as an executive and parliament, additional responsibilities. Some of those responsibilities are there. They're written in the constitution. Parliament and the national executive have got the responsibility to uphold national security. So much we enjoy all those rights, but we've got the very same constitution imposes these responsibilities on these two institutions, Parliament and the national executive. And how do we then uphold national security? It means we have to look what is a threat to the humans of South Africa, to the citizens, to the people who live in this country, where they are coming those threats from internal or from outside. And some of these threats, which may come from inside, will put limitations on what intelligence officers can do. If I've got intention to intercept your communication, which invades your right to privacy, this constitution allows it only if I follow the restrictions which are in the legislation limiting that right. And in our situation in South Africa, it says yes, if there are legitimate reasons to intercept Honorable Mayor, I must go to a judge and convince the judge that it is correct, and once the judge grants the permission, then I can intercept him, which is an independent person. So we followed that and we created a law called Regulation of Interceptions Communications Act of South Africa, RICA Act. But some that come from outside, they are not protected by RICA processes. Some of the threats come from outside, whether it's global terrorism. I'm not talking about domestic terrorism. If it's domestic terrorism, we have to follow RICA. But the biggest challenge we face, not only in South Africa right away, as a progressive world, is the threat of global terrorism. I'm just putting as an example. That one, it can come from anywhere. They do communicate and do coordinate there. Each country has got its own domestic laws. There's nothing which regulates that environment, how people communicate there. I'm just putting as an example, for instance. There are syndicates of crime, whether it's drug trafficking, whether it's human smuggling, whether it's the rhino poaching, all syndicated crimes of global syndicates. They don't respect our national borders. Those are called transnational crimes. So I'm just trying to say, members must remember this, so that as we enter that debate, when we bring these broad policies, there must be that understanding that much as we face these difficulties of these new threats, of these growing threats, we have a responsibility to protect South Africans. We have a responsibility to ensure that our people here, at least they are safe, even safe to those type of syndicates. So I got certain on a broad thing without going into specific details. The detailed policy things will have to come through the tragedy. That way we'll say, we said we're not going to amend most of the current things in that respect. I know the weaknesses. I know the things which have happened. All of us had those reports which were made public, even about the NCC things which were alleged to be done there. But not even in my time, my predecessor put some interim measures to deal with those things there. But those facilities are not abused to intercept South Africans. From our side, we are very clear, Mr. Maynard. If you want to intercept South Africa, go through that process of a judge. That's the easiest way. That's the easiest way. We shall lay all the fears. So that we move from the current dispensation, but we have not put all those things in current legislation, where when thinking of interception, we think of technology or a platform. Because the National Communication Center is just a platform, just a technology and a technology platform. And technology platforms change. They change all the time. So that when we end at that debate, so that we are not limited, like some people have written in their reports, if we just look at the technology platforms. We look at real issues as they pertain to communication today, which has changed significantly. So I'm just trying to say, Chairperson, we didn't want to respond to those things because we thought at the appropriate time and at the appropriate forum would have adequate opportunity to again respond to those things as we responded when we met with the committee initially. Thank you very much.
Yeah, honourable members, before the ministers let's get cold while it's still hot, let me just continue from Parliament's side, because I think there must be, especially when the media is present, there sometimes becomes a misunderstanding when things are said here as to what it is that we actually do. Now, many things might have been said in the public hearings, many things might be said in the meeting, but one thing that is sure, there is no parliament, certainly in South Africa, that can produce laws that the members in the committees are clear is unconstitutional. I certainly don't intend to chair a meeting where members are pushing through a law that they clearly know is unconstitutional. So we raise these things all the time. Members are alert. The lawyers are sitting here, they are alert. The minister's got his own legal advisors. And from time to time, these things are brought to our attention that there might be an issue there that might be touching on the Constitution. It's sometimes unfortunate that we land up in court and these things are interpreted to be contrary to the Constitution, but that's the nature of the work that we do. I don't know any committee that legislates knowing clearly that what they are doing is not going to pass constitutional challenge. So that responsibility, honourable members, I think we are clear on that, it is in our blood, and I don't think there can be any doubt that members, honourable members that sit here, have got in their mind, let's pass some piece of legislation here because we need it and because of some ulterior motive. The understanding is always very clear, and that is that what we do here is something that must pass the Constitution. And the minister raises the point there that fundamental rights are not absolute, and that is unfortunate. It would be nice to have an absolute right to privacy so that when you sit in a bus or you sit in a taxi, people that sit next to you shouldn't even look at your phone or listen to what you're saying to the friends next to you because it's a private matter. But sometimes by the nature of the environment, your privacy is invaded and you can't help it. Sometimes it's very unfortunate that because of the nature of the human being, that those rights have to be infringed on. And that's where the laws come in. We very often have to make laws that infringe on fundamental rights. The Constitution says you've got a right to access to information, but we have got a bill that says you can't just get everything you want. RIA says you must ask and then the information officer will give it to you if you're entitled to get it, and you have to follow process and so forth and so on. So that is a limitation on the right to access to information, and all such other fundamental rights can be limited. The Constitution clearly says if there's a need, if there's justification for it, then it can be limited, as you'll find in Section 36 of the Constitution. So, privacy you must not see, and you must not see absolute rights as something, fundamental rights as something that's absolute that cannot be limited. What needs to be done is that you must look, and you must be responsible about how you go about infringing on these rights. The Constitution sets it out for you. So, we don't make laws because we want to interfere with the rights. We make laws because laws are needed. And very often, as the minister has indicated, the necessity of this law, very often there is an infringement, and we have to be absolutely sure that this infringement is necessary and that it has as little impact on the fundamental right that it is infringing on. So that, I think, is a clear understanding that all of us as members of Parliament must have. That having been said, honourable members, I will expect that at all times you need to be responsible when you make your statements, when you make your contributions. And whether the SSA, the State Security Agency, has got too much functions or too much powers as the legislation or the amendments are proposing, we will decide.
You know, if you ask your children how much money do you want, or pocket money, is a stupid question. You give the child 10 rand and you say go, and then he says no, I want 12 rand, then you give him next to you. You don't ask him how much he wants. So let's not ask the state agency whether they got enough functions there. Let's, if we think necessary, if we think it's not going to interfere with their work, then let us as parliament decide that the mandate needs to be limited. And let's take one or two things away after proper consultation. Let's not blame them and say they want too much. As I said, if you ask your children how much money do they want, they'll always say, you can give them 1,000 rand to go to Bioscope, to the movies. Don't take 1,000 rand. So let's not ask them. Okay, we will decide whether this mandate is too broad or not. The Honourable Santo and then the Honourable Nkateri.
Chairperson, I wanted to say this matter is over clarified. I think the minister has clarified this point. And I was about to appeal to you, Chairperson, that if Honourable Member Mania wants a tete-a-tete with the minister, let them arrange a coffee bar. Leave the committee, get into a coffee bar, and deal with their tete-a-tete, because they were now excluding the committee from what the Honourable Member wanted to clarify it on, which was quite unfortunate. So I'm appealing to you, Chairperson, that we need as a committee to progress, and we need to move together. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm covered. Other being covered can go back to the fact that you wait for the bill next week.
Yeah.
Because all that we're talking about now, we've done. It's done.
It's from Romania. This is news of Honourable Mania.
It is, Chair. Let me just say that I'm always, I would always be welcome a leader coffee with the Minister at any time. Chair, one of the key issues raised in the public submission is, and you pointed out, the whole question
just hold on, Honourable Member. This is on a point of order, Honourable Santo.
Precisely, Chairperson. We are discussing now what we made to discuss public hearings. I don't know whether the committee had a chance of discussing the outcomes of the public hearings. Because I'm not private what that member is private to. As a committee, we needed to get to know if that direction should be taken, get to know from the ministry what their view is on the basis of how the committee has comprehended the what's named the public hearings. But if I am going to come into the committee and raise my things, it becomes exactly what I was trying to stop, Chairperson. We are going to keep quiet here, listen to Honourable Member Mania saying the minister should clarify this. The minister should clarify this. Please, let us be part of this committee deliberations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, in addition, I find it very strange that we are attempting to deliberate now. When we were to listen to the minister and thereafter as the committee, in our deliberations, bringing together the public hearings, see whether from the response of the minister together with what we have captured from the public hearings, are we able to proceed with this legislation or not? And now, what I find strange is that Honourable Mendier is engaging now. He's no longer, you know, kind of seeking clarity, but he's engaging. And Chairperson, I would plead to you that let us cease from doing that. We have enough time as the committee to deliberate and argue, but we can't engage the minister now on this matter. The time will come for us where, after we have all clarified ourselves, that we will ask the minister to come and appear before us.
honorable members, before I get back to the honorable mania. Honorable mania, I'll get to you now. The minister has made the point that if there's anything else that he needs to respond to in his document that he has promised us, I think that is what he has asked. So, honorable mania, in line with that, I think the members are correct when they say they don't want to get in an engagement, they don't want you to engage the minister, but the minister will be here next week and he will be saying certain things on the key issues that he has raised now. So, what I'd like to rule on, is there anything else you would like him to present on without engaging him? If there's number one or number two on your list there, you just tell the minister now I'd like you to talk to us about this point without the reference to who said it or who, what you are unhappy about. And if there's a point number three that you think the minister should talk to, then just raise that. It doesn't matter whether it comes from public hearings or not.
Say that perhaps to solve this impasse, through you I could provide you with a list of issues that I'm concerned about, and perhaps the minister will consider addressing them next week.
Consider them done on the member, then we can proceed.
Chair, just on, this is a, just a question directed to you, not to the minister, and it concerns the committee processes. My understanding is that the, if I recall correctly, that the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence would provide this committee with a report on their discussions or views on the bill. That's one issue. The second issue is the question of the Inspector General for Intelligence appearing before the committee. I do know that we've discussed this matter. I believe that this committee's deliberations would be enriched by the IGI providing us with her views on the bill. I don't know if we've settled that matter. And then finally, so that we can properly deliberate, particularly on the issue of foreign signals intelligence. My understanding from the briefing is that there are regulations in respect of foreign signals intelligence and possibly also regulations in respect of intrusive measures. I would like copies of those regulations. Thank you.
Honourable Member, if you have a list there which you would like to pass on to the Minister, I think you are free to do so. And Honourable Minister, if you feel that you want to respond, you will do that according to your own concerns. But Honourable Members, I think we come to the end of this meeting.
Before you come to an end, let it come from you. We have been appointed as the ad hoc committee members. I'm not accountable to the Joint Standing Committee as I'm stated. That thing should be corrected once and for all today. I'm not a mini, just something of a Joint Standing Committee. I'm the ad hoc committee member of this. Because the Joint Standing Committee is taking a decision to do ABCD, it has to be put correct in this meeting today forevermore. Thank you.
Honourable Member, I thought that that matter had been settled. Yes, Honourable Member. You are concerning yourself with irrelevant matters. Irrelevant.
Relevant.
No, he can say five times it's not matter relevant. Please, Honourable Member, I cannot take everything that you say and everything that you repeat. I cannot continually rule or say something about it. The honourable member sneaked it in the midst of some other things that was relevant. The honourable member may not have been told Honourable member, this is the adequacy. It is especially the man who set that in the resolution. I don't want to read the resolution. You should have been in the House on the 7th of November when the resolution was read out. It doesn't say anything about JSCI. It doesn't say anything about the work of the JSCI. It says the work that this committee has done previously shall be taken into consideration and that you should proceed from there, and that is your mandate. But I don't know this other stuff that, you see, there's some things that get said here I try not to respond to because it's got very little relevance. Now, if I do respond to the current issue
and I don't like issues to be raised here. So the Honourable Mayor knows he must not raise this again. It's not relevant here. And he will not raise it again. So, I don't recall seeing him in the JSCI, V6. No, you mustn't quote Sergius over the irrelevancy, Honourable Member. Is he? Please. You are trying to make things relevant and not irrelevant. Now, Honourable Members, there is another item on the agenda which deals with the adoption of the minutes. The Secretary reminds me that she's been overseas, she's still suffering from jet lag, and as a consequence of that, she was not able to circulate the minutes. Oh, no, she corrects me by saying they were circulated. But I did see Honourable Members with them, so I think we must take it that they forgot their minutes. But we will deal with the minutes in the next meeting, Honourable Members, so that is not a matter that you should regard as closed. Adoption of the minutes, we will deal with in the next meeting. And please, Honourable Members, I ruled out this JSC, the Church Clerics of the Judges. Please, can you forget that thing? Can you forget this message report? Because I have ruled on that thing before. It is easy. No. I didn't raise it. He raised it at the Honourable Mayor. Yes, I ignored him when he raised it the second time, because the third time I was going to discipline him. But I think this, the second time he raised it, was just trying to take advantages to get you all excited, and now he's actually got you all excited. But I said, Honourable Mayor, I insisted that you must be relaxed today. The Autopedia has got you all excited on a matter which is a non-issue. Let's forget about the Church Clerics Committee on Intelligence. We're going to do work. Here the Minister, in fact, tells you this is the committee that the bill is before, so why are you worried about other things? So, Honourable Minister, thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing your staff with you. I see the Honourable Bernardo, one of the very key role players in this committee when it comes to assisting with legal advice. I see other people here that's got an interest in this bill. Let us not forget. I know I like to make speeches, Honourable Members, but please, you must remember this is a legislature. We do not make laws that are unconstitutional. That's the bottom line. We sometimes have to infringe on the fundamental rights, but we do that within the ambits of the Constitution and the law, and with very serious consideration to what we mean. That is how we work here, and that is how we insist that we work here. Let nobody go outside there now and say that committee is busy trying to interfere with fundamental rights and trying to do, because that very often is the perception that can be carried out of a committee where you are dealing with intelligence people. There's always a perception that they are now trying to do some really, really bad things, and that's not the case. Honourable Members, there be no reason to continue any further with this meeting. We then stand adjourned until Friday, the 22nd of February.